trace of menace, but it was a clear warning at the same time, one strong enough to stay the Fae's momentum, though his fingers stayed firmly wrapped around the blade. A look of sheer consternation twisted the handsome lines of his face, and his eyes couldn't stop darting over Eden's shoulder, like he was mad to have turned his back. "Nistera nelotas," he answered in clear defiance, pulling reflexively on the hilt. His bright eyes flashed in the firelight as he gestured angrily.
"Te una insereta di canto, tua mia..."
At that point, Evander lifted his eyebrows as Eden caught the Fae quickly by the elbow and steered him in the opposite direction, casting an apologetic look over his shoulder. The vampire merely shook his head, smiling faintly at the floor. Whatever the Fae had said must have been truly terrible, though it would probably have never occurred to him that the vampire could understand. He seemed the kind to have been surprised they could speak at all.
"I wonder which word was so unforgivable."
She saw Jesse in her periphery, silently aching to ask. There were a few awkward moments as the Fae conversed quickly at one side of the tavern, their long hair tangling together as their voices hissed back and forth like swords, while the friends sat around the table in perfect silence, sipping their drinks and examining their nails.
"If it's any consolation," Jesse offered diplomatically, "I wasn't able to catch much of that, but I'd wager I've called you the same thing. I'd even wager it's been recent."
He caught Evander's eyes across the table, shrugging politely.
"Maybe it's just you."
The vampire stared a moment, then cracked an actual smile.
"I'll work on it."
At long last, the Fae released his death grip on the blade. Even then, it looked like he was seriously considering trying to talk his friend out of it. Then remembered the friend in question, and seemed to accept this new strangeness with a sigh. It was a point of commonality with everyone around the table. They had worn the same expression many times. Eden seemed to collect them. The immortals walked back to the table, and introductions were made. Julius was an old friend. But it was hard to walk the conversation back from, "Your father thinks you're dead."
"You are sure?"
Eden asked after the man was settled, raising his hand for the waitress to bring another drink. It was coming on the evening rush in a busy tavern, but she dropped the cup in her hand and hurried for the pitcher, eager for an excuse to return to the table. Eden studied his friend intently, trying to keep his voice even.
"You are sure he thinks I'm..."
He trailed off, unwilling to say it.
"Unable to say it?"
It was a strange thing to imagine, the sudden clash of realities. A part of Kira rose up with vindictive glee. Good, if the man thought that. So much the better if he carried the guilt of it, for whatever length of time. The man had shouldered the bow. Why shouldn't he shoulder the blame? Then she remembered the look on his face when they'd fled the Ivory City. The hungry lashing rage as he'd drawn back a string and fired an arrow into his son's heart.
"He feels no guilt. He is incapable of shame."
Julius nodded slowly, his bright eyes perfect saucers. He was perched on the edge of his chair, like a bird about to take flight. It was hard to say whether that was entirely due to the presence of a vampire. Eden often perched the same way, though his eyes darted that direction quite a lot.
"He walked straight into the citadel," he answered quietly, "confessed freely to everyone what he'd done. He gave some reasons for doing it."
At that point, his eyes flickered uncertainly to Evander, like there were parts of the story he wasn't meant to hear.
"But yes, he thinks you're dead."
His eyes lifted slowly, measuring the weight of the impact. The weight of the crime.
"Amoliet, Chio."